Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wassalamu ala sayyid al-anbiya wal mursaleen. Wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to one and all. I hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants each and every one of us a blessed Ramadan from which we will be spiritually revived and get the necessary fuel to not only get closer to Allah in this month, but also have that fuel to propel us after the month of Ramadan and thereafter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, today we will commence with our next session on the message of the Quran, where we offer a summarized version, our summary of the different ajza' of the Quran. Before we begin, just a quick note that this series on the message of the Quran is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its reception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty and with their long-term assistance program. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the hashtag Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more, please visit their website at hhrd.org/qalam. So today we will be doing the ninth juz of the Quran. And the ninth juz of the Quran straddles two different chapters or surahs. One is the conclusion of Suratul A'raf, and the second is the commencement of Suratul Anfal. And each surah has themes and lessons that we can inculcate into our lives. Suratul A'raf, as we've heard in the last session, revolves around the people of Al-A'raf who are in this limbo state. And Allah's mercy eventually demands that they are admitted into paradise. And Surah Al-Anfal, inshallah, we will begin, which talks about the spoils of war, particularly in reference to the Battle of Badr. The ninth juz of the Quran comprises 159 verses. And given that it straddles two different chapters, the theme, the discussion is somewhat different. One commentator, one mufassir, summarizes these two surahs, Al-A'raf and Al-Anfal, with the comment that Al-A'raf teaches us the method of interaction of the Anbiya, of the prophets in general, while Suratul Anfal educates us on the methods and habits of our Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in particular. So bearing that in mind, we're going to start off with the general anecdotes of the Anbiya, many of whom have been discussed in the previous session, and then we're going to proceed on with the other Anbiya, but particularly the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-A'raf, we begin with verse 88 for the ninth juz. Inshallah, we'll take it section by section. From verse 88, Allah continues the conversation about the aristocrats of these different societies. Those people who felt that the message of the Prophet was an intimidation, was a challenge to their societal standing. And they said, in particular reference to Shu'aib, once he started telling them that this an economic injustice that is rife in our community, we cannot allow that. So when they did not have any method of, you know, convincing their people against the message of Shu'aib, they went to what all other incapable aristocrats go to, and that is exile. لَنُخْرِجَنَّكَ يَا شُعَيْبُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَكَ. Not only will we exile you, but anyone who follows your message, we're going to exile them from our tribe. The only way you can be protected is if you come to our path. And we already see here the weakness of their message. Message that is convincing, an argument that is compelling, does not require force. Rather, the intellect is able to compute and register a convincing argument simply by virtue of how straightforward and how convincing it is. There's no need for force. When someone resorts to force, that's a sign that their way, their message, is something that is not rational. Because a person who doesn't have the rational ability of convincing his people, listen, you're not listening to me, I'm going to exile you, I'm going to physically harm you. And that is quite common in many arguments as well. When somebody feels defeated, unable to respond, what do? They resort to violence. So this is the age-old practice of the people of the past, and particular reference to Shu'aib. And then Shu'aib alayhi salam and his people, they're being persecuted, and eventually they make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. Oh Allah, grant us an opening. Oh Allah, make it easy for us. Oh Allah, you are the one who gives us the way, shows us the way. So open for us, between us and our people, the truth. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. And you are the greatest giver of these awakenings. The term fath is really powerful, because those on the spiritual path, they talk about futuhat, these openings, these awakenings. It's a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires someone for the truth. And there's a very profound dua that we should have our tongues moist with, and that is, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. Oh Allah, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. Oh Allah, show me the truth as the truth, and inspire me to follow it. Show me the truth as truth, and inspire me to follow it. Because hidayah and guidance is beautiful. The fact that I'm able to live a spiritually, physically healthy lifestyle is something everybody should be following. But the tawfiq and the ability to hold firmly to that is not something that comes easy. It's something that needs to be earned. And we need to ask Allah that, Ya Allah, the truth is there, but inspire me to follow the truth as well. Inspire me to recognize the truth. Because simply knowing the truth is not enough. Because even the polytheists who opposed the Prophet ﷺ, they knew it was the truth, but they did kufr, they hid the truth away. And that was the cause of their downfall. Then a few verses later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 96 and 97 discusses the responses people gave to the Anbiya. One response was that of acceptance. We are willing to accept your message. The second was that of rejection. And Allah tells us that if you adopt an Islamic, a healthy Islamic in the broader sense, if you adopt the message of Allah, then Allah will open the skies for you. Allah will increase you in your sustenance. Oftentimes we labor under this assumption that if I practice my deen, if I practice my faith, it's going to be a source of loss. You know, I can't take an interest-bearing loan, hence I'm going to lose out. I can't eat haram food, I feel like I'm going to lose out. I can't be involved in illicit relationships, I feel like I'm going to lose out. That mentality is absolutely wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you opt for the correct avenues of pleasure, whether it's through marriage, halal food, halal income, then not only are you spiritually getting, you know, revived, but also physically in this world, you will live a healthy and happy lifestyle. Allah says, I will reveal unto you the barakatim min as-sama, the blessings of the heavens and the earth. You may have less in terms of quantity, but the quality of the life that you will live when it is in accordance to the sunnah, the hadith, the message of Allah is much more meaningful and much more filled with blessings. On the other hand, there are those who say, you know what, I don't want to accept this message. And Allah says, the punishment awaits such people. But remember, the punishment doesn't come. Allah, in many verses, Allah says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَأَمَنْتُمْ. Allah doesn't take pleasure in sending punishment. Allah doesn't take pleasure in, in taking people to task. No, it's something Allah does out of justice, because this is something that you have earned through your rejection, through your oppression. After talking about Shu'aib alayhi salam and the Anbiya in general, Allah gives a synopsis. Allah gives a summary. In verse 101, Allah says, تِلْكَ الْقُرَى نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا. These tribes and villages and people and nations, نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا. I'm telling you some of their stories. مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا. I'm not telling you all of their stories. I'm informing you concerning some of their stories. The messengers came with بَيِّنَات. Al-Bayyinat refers to clear, decisive proofs. But some people accepted, they will be rewarded, and some people rejected. Now, after giving this summary, Allah goes back to the stories of the Anbiya, but a particular prophet, and that is none other than Musa alayhi salam. The story of Musa alayhi salam is profound. And interestingly, the story of Musa alayhi salam is the most often repeated story in the Quran. And the reason for that is obvious. The Sharia of Islam, the lifestyle of Islam, the commandments of Islam resemble those of Musa alayhi salam more than any other prophet apart from him. So we find a lot of similarity in the way we have our ahkam and this, the ahkam of the Banu Israel. In terms of law, they're very similar. So Allah talks about the story of Musa alayhi salam and where it begins. Allah says in verse 103, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَا مِن بَعْدِهِم مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. And the story commences. And it's a very long story that carries on for several verses and pages, but it begins with the message that Musa alayhi salam was sent to Fir'aun and sent to his people. فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. Unfortunately, they didn't accept these signs. In the face of open, convincing signs, they chose ignorance and they chose not to accept the message. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the outcome of those who choose corruption. And the story carries on that Musa alayhi salam is showing all of these signs, and Fir'aun, instead of accepting the message, he tries to rationalize it. And he tries to find an excuse and he says, yeah, this is just magic. This is sorcery. I'm going to find the best magicians in the domain, in our land, in Egypt. And they're going to silence this Musa. Who does he think he is with his magic? And in this reaction of Fir'aun, we see something that's very common in our lives today. And that is when something of religion makes sense, when something seems inspiring, when something seems life-changing, instead of considering that a sign that draws us closer to the divine, it's often translated as, yeah, that's just happened to be. You know, you talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. speak to an atheist and tell him that, you know, you study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he couldn't have been an ordinary person. Think about how he couldn't read or write and he brought this, you know, transformative scripture. Think about his character. Think about the miracles. Think, you tell them all of these things and they'll start rationalizing. Yeah, you know what? It's possible that one person was able to change his life. Yeah, it's possible that militarily speaking, this could have happened. Scientifically speaking, he could have had this knowledge. So when someone's not willing to accept the message, they begin to rationalize. And there's nothing wrong with rationalizing, but at some point we have to realize that the truth should be accepted as the truth, even if it means for me to accept something that's uncomfortable for me personally. So Allah talks about the interaction with Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salam, and how the sorcerers, they were told that, listen, you want a hefty price, you want to be rewarded handsomely, then you need to silence Musa with your sorcery. And they through Musa alayhi salam, they through their sorcery, Musa alayhi salam through his staff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wastarhabuhum waja'u bisihrin 'azim. They brought their magic. And it's like the arena is set. You have all of these magicians, everybody's watching. Musa alayhi salam, he's alone. Physically speaking, he's alone. He's the only person there. He's outnumbered. And apparently, he's outmanned. He's out armed. He doesn't have anything to defend himself. He has his normal walking staff. Allah says to him, listen, don't worry about what the circumstances look like. Throw your staff and leave the rest to us. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ. Throw your staff. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ. Subhanallah, in the moment, that staff went from an ordinary walking stick to this anaconda that devoured these impression, imitation, sorcery of the magicians. And what's profound about that, you know, it just gets me thinking how there's many times in our lives where, you know, we're at the precipice of doing something, we're at the cusp of doing something that is, you know, life-changing. I'm thinking about a job. I'm thinking about a purchase. I'm thinking about a marriage. I'm thinking about, you know, a relationship. There's so many things I want to do. And I know clearly this is what Allah wants from me and this is what Allah doesn't want from me. And at that moment, everything seems disadvantageous. Everything seems to be against me if I go with Islam. That, you know what? I have a relationship. It's an unlawful relationship. Why would I leave it for Islam? And at that moment, I'm trying to rationalize and everything seems difficult. But if I trust in Allah, and like Musa, I throw the stick and I place my trust in Allah, Allah will open avenues for me, which I have not even conceived of. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that whoever has this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will open the path from them for them. And he with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he silences the magicians. And then Fir'aun, due to his pride, he couldn't contain himself when he saw that the magicians fell down in prostration and they said, we believe in Musa alayhi salam's Lord, Rabbi Musa wa Harun. And then in verse 124, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the attitude of Fir'aun. Again, you know, we saw it with Shu'aib, that when you're not able to win an argument, you get physical. He says, لَوْقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. You know what? The only response that I have is I'm going to crucify you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to harm you. Why? Because the argument isn't convincing. So when a person's not convincing, they get physical. And then verse after verse, Allah talks about the trials of Musa alayhi salam, his encounter with Fir'aun, and how eventually the Fir'aun, you know, he's causing oppression and he's chasing Musa alayhi salam, who, you know, enters into the sea. He splits the sea, and eventually that is a source of salvation for Musa alayhi salam and the Banu Israel, but it ends up becoming a source of damnation and a source of punishment and destruction and doom for Fir'aun and his people. Right, the story of where Musa alayhi salam splits the sea, they cross, but Fir'aun is unable to cross. And it's interesting because that shows how the same thing that can be medicine for one person can be poison for someone else. Can be success for one person, can be destruction for someone else. It just depends on what your perspective is, what side you're on. Are you accepting the message, or are you not accepting the message? And then the story of Musa alayhi salam continues on. And there's the encounter of Musa alayhi salam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says to Allah, that, "Ya Allah, I want to meet you, I want to speak to you." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a tajalli, a spark of his divinity, and the mountain splits asunder, letting Musa alayhi salam know that, listen, to see me, to speak to me, is something great. And if it splits the mountains asunder, how can ordinary human beings be able to see and meet me? Then Musa alayhi salam eventually gets the commandments. He goes to receive the commandments for Banu Israel after speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when he comes back, he noticed to his astonishment that the people are now worshipping a calf. And Musa alayhi salam left his brother Harun to attend to them. And when he notices that he couldn't keep up with this responsibility, he was a bit frustrated. And then he expresses his frustration, and Harun alayhi salam gives his excuse, saying that it wasn't me, they fell into this form of worship. And then Allah talks about the Banu Israel. I just want to mention one particular verse. In verse 156, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, when he talks about the Banu Israel in a particular incident, he says, "Waktub lana fi hadhihi ad-dunya hasana wa fil akhirati inna hudna ilayk." Qala, "Adhabi usibu bihi man asha' wa rahmati wasi'at kull shay." In verse 156, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, yes, I can punish, and yes, I can reward, but remember, my punishment is very selective. Only certain people will receive my punishment, those whom I want to punish. But my reward is for everyone. Wasi'at kulla shay. Everything, kulla shay, everything will be encompassed by my mercy. And kulla shay refers to everything, not only humans, everyone is encompassed by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's beautiful, because when Allah describes himself, he describes himself as Ghafoor and Rahim. So forgiveness is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes down to adab, Allah chooses whom he wishes to punish. And that is the end of the story of Musa alayhi salam. And there are a few other incidents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. In particular, Allah talks about the people of the Sabbath. They were told not to do things or fish on the Sabbath, and then they devised a particular scheme to get around it. There's also another very famous incident about a person who was granted knowledge, and he was very close to Allah, but then he used that knowledge for worldly means. He used that knowledge to get closer to the world. And they say his name was Bal'am bin Ba'ura. He was a particular person who used the knowledge that Allah gave him not to get closer to Allah, but just to make a worldly, achieve a worldly objective. And over here, after mentioning the story of Bal'am, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man yahdi Allahu fahuwa al-muhtadi, wa man yudlil fa'ulaika humul khasirun." True hidayah comes when Allah wants to guide someone. If Allah guides someone, they will be guided. And if Allah does not guide someone, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they are the greatest losers. And there are many things mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the concluding section of Surah Al-A'raf, in verses 204 to 206, Allah says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That when the Quran is recited, listen attentively. You know, oftentimes people ask the question, I go to the gym or I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking, should I just play the Quran? Is it something good? And the answer is, there's nothing wrong with that. Alhamdulillah, it's good that we have the Quran playing in the background. But let's not make that an excuse for not actually listening to the Quran. Because keeping the Quran in the background, yes, it creates an environment, But from one perspective, it can be disrespectful if I'm not paying attention. The Quran is on and I'm watching TV. The Quran is on and we're arguing. The Quran is on and we're not doing anything to maintain listening to the Quran. So although it's good, but let's not over emphasize it. Let's not do it too often and dedicate time where I'm doing nothing but the Quran. Right? Think of it as a relationship. You know, once in a while, if a person's on their phone and they're talking to someone, they'll understand. But if every single time I'm talking to someone, they're not paying attention, after a while, I'm going to check out. I'm not going to feel as though this person is worth my time. They don't consider my feelings, so why should I consider them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen to the Quran attentively and stay silent. And the first ayatu sajda of the Quran, in terms of the sequence of compilation, is verse 206, which is the last verse of this surah, in Suratul A'raf. Then we begin with Suratul Anfal. Suratul Anfal is a Madani surah, which was revealed in reference to the battle of Badr and the spoils of war. And in the opening, Allah gets straight to it and He describes who the believers are. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. You know, oftentimes we want to ask, oh, is he a good Muslim? Is she a good Muslim? Is this person on the deen? Is, you know, we very callously throw out these terms of who's a good Muslim and who's not a good Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, put all your definitions aside. If you want to know who truly is a believer, here is the definition. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When they hear the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts tremble. When they hear the verses of the Quran, their iman increases and they have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a very beautiful marker of what it means to be a believer. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. Allah reminds us that they are truly the believers. And Surah Al-Anfal is predominantly, at least in, for the most part, talks a lot about the laws of warfare, the spoils of war, how you're allowed to retreat and flee, when is it legitimate to retreat and flee. And one by one, Allah talks about the different ahkam. In the concluding part of the ninth juz, not the ending of Surah Al-Anfal, but at least in the concluding part of Suratul of the ninth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, He addresses the mu'min, the believers, and He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, never breach the trust that Allah has given you. Never breach the trust by, don't be treacherous to Allah and don't be treacherous to the Prophet and don't be treacherous to any trust people have given you. This is very powerful because it's telling us that as a Muslim, there is the trust that Allah has given me, but there are also general trusts that as a human being who is a Muslim, I need to maintain. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Knowingly, never do this. And then to conclude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the people who are plotting and planning against the Muslims, and they use their resources, their finances to bring down Islam, which is very similar to the Islamophobia industry today. You know, millions and millions of dollars are being funneled into these organizations to malign, to vilify Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every penny that's being spent today for that oppressive and negative cause will be a source of regret in the afterlife. So Allah says, "Say, فَسَيُنْفِقُونَ ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلِيمٌ حَسْرًا ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ." This is all going to be a means of regret and remorse. The last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَاكُمْ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Although it's particular reference to war, that in war, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your mawla. Allah is your caretaker. Allah is your master. Ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-nasir. Allah is the best of masters. Allah is the best of those who help and those who aid. And we have to understand that this may be referring to a particular battle, but it doesn't mean that it's not applicable, because each and every one of us, we're fighting our own wars. Some of us, you know, I'm struggling with my job, trying to earn a halal living. That's my war, and Allah is there for me. If I'm a single mother trying to take care of children, Allah is there for me. If I'm a parent who is trying to, you know, reason with a child who just simply does not want to understand, Allah is there with for me for my wars, for my battles. Yes, they can either be physical battles, they can be emotional battles, but I should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for me. And Allah tells us, don't just think of it as lip service. نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Allah is the best of mawla. Allah is the best aid. And it is Allah's assistance that we seek. With that, we conclude the ninth juz, which in summary, as I've mentioned, part one talks about the lessons of the different anbiya, the different prophets. And Surah Al-Anfal tells us about how the Prophet alayhi salam, our Prophet, interacted with his people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us to follow the verses of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who hear the Qur'an and their iman increases as described in the opening of Surah Al-Anfal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward one and all for participating in this session. Anything that was right is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anything wrong is from myself and from shaitan. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.